Zechariah is a post-exilic prophet. So and all, a good number at least, of the Israelites who wanted to come back came back. Some stayed. You know, I have a son in Babylon, you, I want him to finish, I don't want, you know. They stayed up there, or business was good, or living in the land that the Lord had promised them was not a priority for some as it was for the others. Because, see, the land, that land, is still sort of a sacrament. In the Talmud and in the Mishnah, there are laws about how you farm on the land there. They don't apply to any other land, but just to this land. And when you think of it, you know, the body of Christ comes from that land. You know, he was formed in the womb of his mother, who was eating the food of that land, whose own body was formed by that land, and he himself. And in a way, you see, we all touch Israel at the Eucharist. Now, we don't think like that, you know, but a little bit would help the land. Now, this is post-exilic, so they're back now. The promise is, people will live in Jerusalem as though in open country, meaning no walls, no locked doors, no, you see. When is that going to happen? It hasn't happened yet. Now, the fulfillment of that is among us. It's the church. The church is Jerusalem. Of course, we ourselves, look just what's going on in Syria right now to the Christians. Some murder, rape, robbery. They're not living in an open country by their own choice. But there is a promise in Zechariah which is yet to be fully fulfilled. Huh? Sing and rejoice, O daughter Jerusalem. See, I am coming to dwell among you, says the Lord. Now that's happened, right? That's Jesus. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day. And that already has begun to happen, right? And they shall be his people, and he will dwell among them. These are prophecies which are in the process of being fulfilled. Does God dwell among us? Well, just look at the tabernacle. But there's more. Part of that more will be when the Lord comes back. But there could be more of that more if we would take the Lord seriously in our own lives, obey him and what he tells us, love one another, and care about this world. There would be more of that. Then they have a very enigmatic and short part of the Luke's gospel today. Actually, it's about 2.5 verses, that's all. But the point is what? You see, while they were all amazed at his every deed, Jesus said to his disciples, pay attention to what I'm telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men. Handed over, betrayed, finally tortured and killed. But they didn't understand this saying. So we go, oh, we do. Do we? We know what it refers to. But do we understand? How deeply in us is the reality of the death and resurrection of the Son of God? And how deeply does that reality guide and influence our lives? You see? Now, they know that he's talking about something ominous. They didn't understand this saying. Its meaning was hidden from them so that they should not understand it And they were afraid to ask him about it because they have a hunch of what it's all about. It's very interesting that the people who pick our texts would just have the second half of verse 43, verse 44, and 45 of this chapter 9 to think about. I guess the best thing that the text can tell us is don't be afraid to ask. Let the Lord show you what his plans are. Because ultimately, as the first text said, I think thoughts of peace. That's from Jeremiah, but the theme is here, see. I'm coming to dwell among you, and the nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day. That's not fulfilled yet, is it? I mean, do you see what's going on all over the world? Anger, torture, cruelty, ambition, power. And who is the king of this universe? Jesus Christ. Why doesn't he just come and stop it? Let's go ask him. And let's pray for peace. You see? The peace that has to come is the fruit of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why, let's not be like the disciples and be afraid to ask him, well, what are we supposed to do about this?